حيمال صلاك حيمال صلاك حيمال فلاح حيمال فلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام وعلى محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear beloved Muslims, highly praised and glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayers and the peace be on Muhammad the Prophet, his companions, the righteous servants all. Ameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is our prophet, Allah's messenger, and servant to mankind. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this beautiful day of Jummah, and also the month of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. And when we say Ramadan Mubarak, it's blessed, blessed Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. Imam Warthy Muhammad taught us to say, greet our brothers and sisters, Ramadan Mubarak, which means blessed Ramadan. And also the return to the greeting is Ramadan Mubarak. Years ago, we used to say Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem. And the word Kareem means generous. And generous is preserved for the Eid. It's generous. It's a blessed month of Ramadan. Nowhere in the Quran does Allah say that this is a generous month of Ramadan. He calls it the blessed month of Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And we'd like to speak today on Ramadan. Ramadan is a special month, the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. And the topic that we'd like to speak on today is Ramadan and the Night of Power. Those of us who read the Quran and those of us who study the religion, we know that there's a special night in the month of Ramadan. And we know that night is in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And we know it's on an odd night. Well, why aren't we more specific? Well, if Allah wanted us to know, he'd tell us that in the Quran. But it's the time of our dear Prophet Muhammad when he was receiving the revelation. And when that message came down to Prophet Muhammad in that time, that period, that blessed time, then that should be worshipped. And this is why we call it the Night of Power. So how do we find out? We can't. We have to stay up at night on an odd night in the last 10 days. And we worship, we pray, we give devotion, and we pray Allah that we capture the time that the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad over 1400 years ago. And then they say that the strongest indication of that night is the 27th night of Ramadan. The last, and after that, three more days left of Ramadan, 27th night. So keep in mind that the Islamic calendar, night precedes the day. Like in the calendar that we use presently, the morning time is the first beginning of the day. When the sun sets in the Muslim calendar, that's the beginning of the day. Because everything starts in darkness and it evolves into the light. Alhamdulillah. So actually, if we're looking for worship on the 27th night, then it would have to be in the night of the 26th day of Ramadan. And if anybody don't understand it, then quite nice, you could check with me and we could clarify that. In the Holy Quran, there's a surah called Qada, Ladatul Qada. It's 97, 1 to 5 ayats or verses. And I'll read it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We have indeed revealed this message in the Night of Power, Laylatul Qadr. And what will explain to you what the Night of Power is? The Night of Power is better than 1,000 months. Therein comes down the angel and the spirit by God, by Allah, permission on every errand. Peace, this until the rise of dawn. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. So he says that we have indeed revealed this message in the Night of Power. So if we want to know why the Night of Power is so special, it's a night of power. It empowers the human being, God's word. It's a night of honor. It gives honor to human being. And also the night of destiny for human life on this planet Earth. I mean, an individual who has knowledge, he can find his way. An individual who's in darkness of Jahiliyyah, he can't find his way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing his word, which is the light. So it's a blessing for humanity, alhamdulillah. And keep in mind that Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet to come to mankind. The last prophet to come to mankind. So the message that Allah gives to Prophet Muhammad for mankind is the completed message. So this is the night of empowering the human being, giving honor to human life, alhamdulillah. And from that time of Prophet Muhammad to right now, what we're doing right now, we're giving clarity or attempting to give clarity of the Quran for the benefit of the minds of the human being, for the intellect. Why? So he could remain on the straight path. And that straight path leads to human excellence. So he said, we have indeed revealed this message in the Night of Power. And what will explain to you what the Night of Power is? The Night of Power is better than 1,000 months. Now, I calculated that once some time ago, and 1,000 months represent your entire life. In other words, the revelation that Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad is better than your whole life. Better than a thousand months, right? So if we live a whole lifetime, we won't experience anything better than revelation. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is precious, precious for human growth and development. He said, there came down the angel and the spirit by Allah's permission on every errand. And we know that the angel Jibril came to the Prophet Muhammad and he inspired this message in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And quite nasty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. The night of power, the night of honor, the night of dignity for human life on this earth. And this is why it's so important that we give dawah or propagate the religion. Because every human being on this planet Earth should know the truth. And it was the mission of Prophet Muhammad, and it's the mission of every individual who follow the life of Prophet Muhammad or follow the Quran, is his responsibility to give clarity of the Quran to another human being. Because the only awakening that we're going to have is the awakening by the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Quran, the book that must be read, the book of guidance, the word of Allah. And the word of Allah is like a small seed, like it's called a alaq, that have the potential of becoming universal. We start out and we know as a baby, we start out, we don't know much. The baby depends on his mother for his food, for to be cleaned, etc. But as that mother nurtures that child and introduce him to knowledge, you know, the birds, the bees and things of that nature, trees and things of that nature, it's the forming of that little seed. And then eventually the kid, he grows up, he goes to school, he has religious teachings and learning, he goes to college, and then he becomes an institution in the world. And the more he studies, the greater that little small individual grows into a big individual. Alhamdulillah. Now, this is not only for Prophet Muhammad. This is for all human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, once we submit our will to do the will of Allah. Very, 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 very important. Actually, it doesn't get any important than this, because this is the night of power, 27th night, or in the last 10 days on an odd night, the Quran came down to give intellectual understanding to human life on this planet Earth. And it started with our dear Prophet Muhammad over 1400 years ago. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is Ramadan. We read the Quran. We do good deeds. We give charity. We try to stay as pure as we possibly can in the mind and in the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more pure our heart is, the more blessings we receive. And Allah, quite nasty, is the best knower. Another chapter in the Holy Quran, Surah 96, from 1 to 5. Now, this is the first revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Now, it's not listed in the book as the first chapter or first surah. Al-Fatiha is, and all of us know Al-Fatiha. We study Al-Fatiha, we use it in our prayers, etc. But the first actual revelation before the different verses was placed by Prophet Muhammad in his lifetime was Surah 96, verse 1 to 5. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad through the angel Jibril. Now, when we say angel, don't look up in the sky as if there's some angels floating around with wings and things of that nature, like we were first orientated in our establishment here in America. Don't look up. Don't be that small-minded, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this idea that have been distorted by people who work in contrary. See, there's nothing up in the sky but knowledge and wisdom, stars and planets and things of that nature. Our minds can go and explore these things, but there's nothing holy in the sky. Actually, they mention heaven, and heaven, really, in the Arabic word, it means sky. It means turn your face to the sky. For what? For knowledge. In the one time, you could look up in the sky and you could evaluate things into God's creation. And then later, as these big, powerful magnifying glasses and able to look up in telescopes, etc. And then we see all this marvelous science in the universe. And these are the things that are affecting the minds of man and causing him to do things that he does here on his earth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned his intellect loose. Now remember, we started as a small thing called an alaq. And then we grow and evolve over a period of time until we become a full intellect. A mind, not just a physical body, but an intellect, an intelligent human being on this great planet Earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this first revelation that was given to Prophet Muhammad over 1400 years ago, right? And it's called Iqra. Iqra. Iqra means to read, and it also means to proclaim. See, Allah doesn't spell these everything out for us. He puts the information here that's correct, and then he gives us the opportunity to explore it, to examine it, to analyze it, like a scientist would analyze something. So the first thing we say, Iqra, it means read, and it also means proclaim. It's just like when an individual, he breathes in air. It's universal. If he breathes in air, he got to breathe out air. He said, I think it's oxygen come in and carbon monoxide go out. One benefits you and the other one benefits plant life, right? So when we read the words of the Quran, we're taking in the knowledge. But the word proclaim means to give out. We have to proclaim a proclamation. We issue a proclamation on the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a living organism. When we read Quran, we're taking in the knowledge and we're giving it back. And that causes life to continue on. As long as we're taking in knowledge, as long as we're giving it out, we're producing new growth, new development. And this word in this surah also means alaq. And alaq, it gives us a picture of what it means. The clot, congeal blood. when a mother is getting ready to have a baby, the sperm mixed with the egg and it forms a alak. It's called a clot. Something very small that the eye can't even see. But eventually it grows into something very big. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite nasty, is the best knower. So we understand this before we even read the surah. We understand it from his title, his definition. A small thing knowing nothing to a universal intellect. Alhamdulillah. And we have people who, scientists, people we know in history, we studied in school, who knows much after, before knowing nothing. And then one of our great African-American heroes in our past, he says, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. In other words, there's so much information all around us that we can evaluate for higher knowledge, for scientific knowledge, and we just waste it. We waste it on foolishness and drunkenness and music and all the rest of these things, just throwing these gifts away that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Because if he gave us intelligence or intellect or intelligence, and then he gave us a universe that's in order, that's the institution. It's a universe, one verse, one universe. And we spend big money going to universities to learn limited knowledge. But the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is unlimited knowledge. As a matter of fact, the growth of the intellect is unlimited. And he says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, proclaim or read in the name of your Lord and cherisher who created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. Proclaim, and your Lord is most bountiful. He who taught the use of the pen taught man that which he knew not. Sadaq al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. That's Surah 96, the first chapter of the Holy Quran. Now, we're going to mention how it came about that Prophet Muhammad was in this situation to receive revelation. We'll mention it before we close, but let's take another look at this ayat, this verse, these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these precious verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Proclaim, read, right? Read and proclaim, right? In the name of your Lord and cherisher who created. See, Allah introduces himself to us as Rabb. Rabb means your Lord, the one who created you, before he introduced himself to us as Allah, the one that we give our worship to. Because if we don't know that this Allah is the one that created us, how deep could we get in worship? He created us from, it gives us from the essence, from clay from mud formed into shape, etc., right? And then he breathed into us of his ruh, or his spirit, and we came to life. We have to know these things for a bigger and better understanding. Read or proclaim in the name of your Lord and cherisher who created. And then we ask ourselves, well, what did he create? He said, read his creation. Read the creation. He created us as a mind, as an intellect, and he put a whole universe all around us, and then he tells us to read creation. You know, we were sitting out in the back this afternoon and we were looking at the trees. He wants us to read the tree. See, it's not a tree, really. It's the nature of what that object is. Somebody just named it tree, so we call it a tree. He said, we see birds flying around. Somebody named them birds, but it's not really a bird. It's what is the nature of that creature that's flying around. We have to understand the nature of everything that he created. He said he created creation, and then he created the mind to understand creation, right? Created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. In other words, he created it from a small, small thing. And then eventually it evolves over a period of time until he becomes a full human being, a scientist in his thinking, able to understand the creation of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the universe in time. See, remember, the universe has no end to it, and man's has there's no ending to the mind of man. There's no end. When we die in the physical body, you know, we cry and we grieve because we're used to the human body, but the soul of that individual, if it's pure, it never dies. It just goes on. It just travels all. It, as far as the universe is traveling, that's how the intelligence, the intellect, the spirit, the soul of that individual evolves to no end, and Allah knows best. Proclaim, and your Lord is most giving, most bountiful. If we had the right mind, the right heart, the right spirit, we'll benefit from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Because everything he created it for the benefit of man. It's a benefit. Why don't we get our share of the dunya, the world? He said, get your share of the dunya. How come we didn't get our share? Because of ignorance. See, even the sinner, the person who sins, who lies, who steals, who kills, drink alcohol, sell dope, etc., if he utilizes his intellect, he's going to get his share of this material world. He didn't say that you had to be the perfect angel. He said, if you utilize your facility, you're going to get it. He said, but you don't get any share of the afterlife. You get it in this life, but no share in the afterlife. How come we don't have our share? Actually, we can't even find a store. We have to search hard to find a store in African-American communities. Not only a Muslim store, but any store. Because we're not getting our share because of the lack of knowledge and understanding of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He said, read his creation and read the creation of your own self. And once you read the creation of your own self, now you know how you function. Why don't many men, why don't they stay married for long periods of time? Because they don't know the nature of a woman. You can't just do what you want to a woman. A woman has her own nature. You can't force her to be subservient to you and think that your marriage is going to work. But once you know the nature, then quite naturally you work around her nature. And Allah knows best. Same thing with a man. A man has his own specific nature. And once we work around that nature, then we'd be better able to fulfill our obligation. He said he taught the use of the pen, taught man that which he knew not. We know that the pen is an object that we record information. And we record this information for the benefit of those coming behind. Now, if I write a book today, my granddaughter, she went to college. She got a degree. And she had to write a book, really a dissertation she had to do, right? But it's in the form of a book. And that book have to be placed in a library somewhere for somebody else to benefit from, right? Why? Because any intelligent person, they get the benefit of all of the knowledge that is acquired. So if I write a book, I want somebody to read it. I don't just want to put it on the shelf and sell a few copies. I want it to be generational. Alhamdulillah. So if it is generational, then our species, our people, our way of life exists on and on and on. You know, we write books down, we read it, throw it away, and that's the end of it because we don't properly understand. He who taught man the use of the pen to record the knowledge that we have for the benefit of our fellow man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quite naturally is the best knower. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We're talking about the holy month of Ramadan, the month where the gift, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down to our dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we want to train our mind to think more broader And we know that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, when he created human beings, everything that the human being needed is within his own self. Actually, there's a physical human being, there's a spirit, an angel in the human being, and also there's a devil. We all have. They asked Prophet Muhammad, he said, do you have a jinn in you? His companions, when he's speaking to them about the jinns, about the devil, he said, yes, I have a jinn in me, but I have my jinn under my control. In other words, when the jinn is saying, hey, let's go get some, smoke some dope, let's go find some guns or steel, so all of these things are suggestions that's coming not outside of ourselves, it's coming from within our own self. But he said, I have my jinn under my control. In other words, my disciplines, my faith in God controls that negative force. So if we have a jinn in us, then quite naturally, we have an angel. We have a force in us that's an angel. And sometimes when we read the Quran and we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this message came down through the angel Jibril, it didn't come from the sky. It came from within Prophet Muhammad. Because Prophet Muhammad was a pure soul. See, if he wasn't pure, he wouldn't have received it. He wouldn't have received the message from the angel. And this is what Allah says in another chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 29. And he's speaking to the angels. He says, when I have fashioned him, talking about man, in due proportion, and breathed into him of my spirit, fall down in obedience to him. He's telling the angel was above man at one point, and then when man submitted his will to do God's will and purified his soul, then he became above the angel. Allah commanded him. He told the angel, fall down to him, be obedient to him. Why? Because he has a pure soul. Alhamdulillah. And not only that, the angel could only do one thing, and that's what's completely right. He don't do wrong. He only do the will of Allah. There's no wrong in the angel. And man have the free will to do right, or he have the free will to do wrong. But he makes a choice. And now he say, I'm submitting my will to do wrong, to do the will of Allah. Alhamdulillah. So there's forces that's working against mankind, us right now. But we choose to please Allah, and we put that jinn or that jinn nature in us under our control, and we submit our will to do God's will. So Prophet Muhammad was a pure soul. And when Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca over 1,400 years ago, he was born in 570 in the Christian era. And he was in the city of Mecca. He lived in the city of Mecca, and Mecca was called Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah means the city of ignorance, or the people were ignorant. They were ignorant. They didn't have a culture. They were just backwards people. They were pagan people, right? They didn't understand the belief in the oneness of God. They did all kinds of crazy things like we see people doing today. And Prophet Muhammad, as he customary did, he used to take himself away from the city and he would go up into the mountain called Hijra, right? And he would go into a cave in the top of the mountain. And I was blessed to be there. I saw it. I had a very steep mountain. It's just like a steep mountain. You had to really put some effort in going up into that mountain. And actually, my back was bothering me at the time, so I waited at the foot of the mountain for the brothers to come back. But there's a cave at the top. And then when you look down from the cave and look at the city of Mecca, very, very small. So he would go there and he would go in retreat and he would just worship. He just reflecting. He didn't know Allah. He didn't know religion. He didn't believe in pagans or anything like that. He had a pure heart, but he would go there and just reflect on the state of the world. Jahiliyyah. Why are my people so ignorant? And these kinds of things, etc. And then it was at that point in time that the angel came down to him, right? The angel was above, right? The angel was above and he was below. And the angel came down and spoke to him. And what did he say? He said, read in the name of thy Lord who created. And what did the prophet say? The prophet said, I can't read. Now remember, he didn't have knowledge, they didn't have books, they didn't have institution, he couldn't read. He was just a good human being. And then he said to him again, read in the name of thy Lord who created. He said, I cannot read. And then the angel grabbed him according to the tradition and squeezed him and said, read in the name of thy Lord who created. And then he was able to read. And then how was he reading? Words? No, he was reading as a spiritual entity, right? Allah was revealing something to his soul, and then he was able to understand it. And then we know in the Quran, there's many areas in the Quran, it talks about Prophet Muhammad giving and talking about how a woman carries a baby to term, right? He was talking about the alaq, right? The sperm and the egg in the womb of the mother, carrying it to term, different stages of development that it goes through. It goes into the womb and it turns upside down and all. How would he have possibly known that 1400 years ago? There was no science for that. Matter of fact, I'm saying it and people who are Muslims say it, but Christians say it too. People of knowledge, scientists say it also. How did he know it? There's no way possible he could have known that. But what was he reading? From his own intelligence? He was reading from the spirit. Allah was blessing his spirit. Now, once we begin to understand that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks to us in a spiritual way, where we understand things where we couldn't even go to the library to get an understanding, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. So he received that revelation from Allah, the first revelation of the Quran, and throughout a period of 23 years, Allah revealed to him ayats and circumstances. When circumstances came about in his life, times that he had to fight battles, etc., Allah gave him the message. He didn't have the information. Allah gave it to him right there on the spot. Right there on the spot, he revealed what he wanted to know, and Prophet Muhammad was victorious. Alhamdulillah. So when Prophet Muhammad came back down from the mountain after this trying experience, it put so much weight and pressure on him because it was a heavy, weighty word, and only the pure heart was able to manage the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his heart. And then he came back down from the mountain, he came back to Mecca, and then he started to proclaim the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in a short period of 23 years, he was able to light up. I'm talking about bringing the intellect back to the Meccan people, and that intellect is being awakened even to this day. Prophet Muhammad started it in Mecca over 1400 years ago, and that message or that mission is still going on today. Revelation is being revealed. Now, when we fast during the month of Ramadan, in the night of power, when we really understand it, we see the power of the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just not scripture that's written and we just say, oh, this is what Allah said, this is what Jesus said, this word. It's a powerful, weighty word that gets right to the soul of the human being once we properly understand it. And don't look for spooky kind of understanding. Search your mind like a scientist would search nature for understanding of the nature of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And then we would better understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desire for each and every one of us. So he said to the angels, when I have fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him of my spirit, fall down in obedience to him. So he was charging the angel to become a servant of the pure soul. See, the angel will never benefit any of us as long as we go on contrary to the will of God. You can't smoke weed and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless you with the guidance of angel. No, you have to purify ourselves, and then the angel becomes our servant, and Allah knows best. Allah telling his eternal spirit to be obedient to Muhammad. Allah telling Muhammad's internal spirit to be obedient to Muhammad. It's in us. Everything we need is right in us. Our conscience and all of these things, they're not outside of ourselves. It's in us. So if you're looking for anything, look inside of yourself. The properly trained individual the individual with the pure soul, when we meditate, when we reflect, we're reflecting within. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You're not going to find Allah in a physical form or picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that He desired for us in our creation. And this is why He said, read in the name of thy Lord who created man. He created man. So that means that you have to understand your creation and you have to understand the universal creation to reap the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desire for each and every one of us. Your eternal spirit is your imam. You say, do a woman? Yes. Inside your eternal spirit is your imam. I remember Imam Warthy Muhammad used to say, My imam Warthy Muhammad told me XYZ. What was he talking about? His eternal spirit. The eternal spirit. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And Prophet Muhammad returned to Mecca and lit up the world. Alhamdulillah. And this is why we don't worship him. We don't worship Prophet Muhammad. We give praise to Allah. We prayers and peace be upon Muhammad the Prophet, his companions, the righteous servants, all, because it's the mission that he set out that we are still continuing, each and every one of us. Whether our knowledge is great knowledge or if we're ill-equipped. If we know one ayat or ill-equipped, he says, still journey on. Teach that one ayat. If you just know, assalamu alaikum, teach that. Alhamdulillah, and it's going to inspire something in another human being to put him on the sirato mustaqim, the straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So we thank Allah for blessing us on this beautiful month of Ramadan. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of the month next week, I believe, is Saturday, is the end of Ramadan. Sunday should be the Eid. And as I mentioned, we're going to have Eid here. And this is the joyous occasion. That's Eid. You know, if we give gifts, alhamdulillah. If we have good food, alhamdulillah. Because why? We're celebrating a victory. The victory is the fast. And if we can catch the month, the night of power, alhamdulillah, it's even a greater victory. And Allah knows best. So Muslims coming from all over, different the world, coming together for one common interest, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a joyous occasion of celebrating Eid on that particular day. So we thank you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and guide us on the straight path. We pray for those who are ill with the virus. We pray for those who have the virus and don't realize it. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us through this difficult time that we're going through and put us back on the sirato mustaqim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Say he is Allah, the one and only Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and none is like him. Ameen. Qad qamitu salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, kakamatu salah, kakamatu salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah,
la ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Allahu Akbar. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim.
Waladolin. Amin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا جاء النصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أتيت الله وصلى الله عليه وسلم. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Astaghfirullah. Kabbalah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.